2. To his brother Mikhail. Petersburg, August the 9th, 1838. The letter begins with explanations of why Dostoevsky has not written to his brother for so long. He has not had a kopeck. It is true that I am idle, very idle. But what will become of me if everlasting idleness is to be my only attitude towards life? I don't know if my gloomy mood will ever leave me. And to think that such a state of mind is allotted to man alone, the atmosphere of his soul seems compounded of a mixture of the heavenly and the earthly. What an unnatural product, then, is he, since the law of spiritual nature is in him violated. This earth seems to me a purgatory for divine spirits who have been assailed by sinful thoughts. I feel that our world has become one immense negative, and that everything noble, beautiful, and divine has turned itself into a satire. If in this picture there occurs an individual who neither in idea nor effect harmonizes with the whole, who is, in a word, an entirely unrelated figure, what must happen to the picture? It is destroyed, and can no longer endure. Yet how terrible it is to perceive only the coarse veil under which the all doth languish. To know that one single effort of the will would suffice to demolish that veil and become one with eternity. To know all this and still live on like the last and least of creatures. How terrible! How petty is man! Hamlet! Hamlet! When I think of his moving, wild speech, in which resounds the groaning of the whole numbed universe, there breaks from my soul not one reproach, not one sigh. That soul is then so utterly oppressed by woe, that it fears to grasp the woe entire, lest so it lacerate itself. Pascal once said, "He who protests against philosophy is himself a philosopher." A poor sort of system. But I have talked enough nonsense. Of your letters, I have had only two, besides the last of all. Now, brother, you complain of your poverty. I am not rich either. But you will hardly believe that when we broke up camp, I had not a kopeck. On the way, I caught cold. It rained the whole day, and we had no shelter. Was sick with hunger as well, and had no money to moisten my throat with so much as a sip of tea. I got well in time, but I had suffered the direst need in camp, till at last the money came from Papa. I paid my debts and spent the rest. Dostoevsky enlarges further on his brother's situation and his own financial difficulties. However, it is time to speak of other things. You plume yourself on the number of books you have read. But don't please imagine that I envy you that. At Peterhof I read at least as many as you have. The whole of Hoffmann in Russian and German, that is, Carter Moore, which hasn't yet been translated, and nearly all Balzac. Balzac is great. His characters are the creations of an all-embracing intelligence. Not the spirit of the age, but whole millenniums, with all their strivings, have worked towards such development and liberation in the soul of man. Besides all these, I read Goethe's Faust and his shorter poems, Polevoy's History, Ugolino and Undine. I'll write at length about Ugolino some other time. And finally, Victor Hugo, except Cromwell and Hernani. Farewell. Write to me, please, as often as you possibly can, for your letters are a joy and solace. Answer this at once. I shall expect your reply in 12 days at the very latest. Do write, that I may not utterly languish. Thy brother, F. Dostoevsky. I have a new plan, to go mad. That's the way for people to lose their heads and then be cured and brought back to reason. If you've read all Hoffmann, you'll surely remember Alban. How do you like him? It is terrible to watch a man who has the incomprehensible within his grasp, does not know what to do with it, and sits playing with a toy called God.